Well, I want to start today's message off by doing a little word association. So what words or phrases come to your mind when you hear the word church? What words or phrases come to your mind when you hear the word church? Yeah, this is a participation part. Home, people, family, I think I heard. This is way more engagement than the 9 a.m. I'm just letting you know. Worship, fellowship, Jesus, there's a good one. You can never go wrong with that answer. Community, love, I love it. I'm so glad nobody said things like dysfunction or anything like that. But a church really is a gathering of people united around a mission. It's a gathering of people united around a mission. All those words that you said match, but it really comes down to what are we united around? And now, as I've been reflecting, being in this role as lead pastor, I don't think I've done a great job of keeping our mission as a church in front of you all and in front of us as a congregation, because we have a great mission statement, but really a mission statement is only as effective to the level that you engage with it. And so today, I'm just taking one Sunday to kind of talk through our mission as a church and then how we accomplish that mission, and then how can you participate in this mission that God has given us. And so to do that, just to start that, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And I would argue that Ephesians, this book or this letter written by the Apostle Paul, is the greatest explanation of how a local church should function. And so if you read Ephesians, if you've never read it, I would encourage you to do that. The first three chapters of Ephesians explains the gospel, what Jesus did and how we've been invited to receive this gift of salvation through Christ. Nothing we did to earn it or deserve it. It's a gift of God, and it's this opportunity every single person has to surrender their lives to Jesus because of what he did through his cross, through the cross and resurrection. Then chapters 4, 5, and 6 really explain, because of what Jesus did or in light of what Jesus did, here's what we should do. And so that's where I want to start in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with the verse 1. And let's let God's word speak to us. It says this, "Therefore I," the Apostle Paul is writing this, "a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." And so Paul starts out by saying, in light of what Jesus did, remember, you didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it, but you do have a responsibility. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, there's gonna be a cost to that, because you've been called to God by God to this life, to this way of life that Jesus came to give us. Always be humble, verse 2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all." So first, Paul addresses your behavior as an individual and how this gets, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, how this gets worked out in your life and how it should translate and how you interact with other people. And then he brings some instruction about how this should work out in a local church. So jump down to verse 11. He continues, he says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers," basically the leaders of the church. "Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. There it is again. And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So he gives us a great picture, outcome of how a church and how the people growing together, what that should look like. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if every church just followed this and that was the outcome of it? That this actually described every church. But as we know, this takes some effort to walk this out. And so it starts with a mission. Let me just give you what our mission as a church is. And it's just a nice phrase, and it's pretty basic, but our mission here at Worship Center is to lead people to be growing followers of Jesus who love God and love people. That's it. Everything that we do here is pointing to that end. We want to help you be a growing follower of Jesus, one who loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and one who loves others, loves people, loves their neighbor, loves others as Christ loved us. Now, you might be wondering, what is a growing follower of Jesus, or what is a disciple exactly? Well, we just spent the last 9 weeks going through the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus taught what it is to be one of his disciples or what it is to be a follower of him. And he gave all of this teaching about building the kingdom, being part of this kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. And so you want to be a part of it. Really, it starts with not just having Jesus be your savior, but having him be your Lord, the king of your life, the ruler of every area of your life. And there's a cost to it. And so if you weren't here for that time, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that, because again, that's what Jesus taught, what it is to know him and what it is to follow him, be a disciple. There will be a cost, and it will cost you your life. But on the other side of that is the greatest level of joy and peace and purpose that you could ever experience this side of heaven. And so here at Worship Center, we want to teach people what it is to know Jesus, what it means to follow him and to obey what he taught. Not just come up with our own agenda, but we want to obey what Jesus taught. And that points right to this book. And you might be wondering, well, how did you come to that conclusion? Well, we're following the words of Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said this. He said this to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, when it comes to here at Worship Center, us teaching you to obey all the things Jesus commanded, it's not just this kind of setting. Otherwise, we can just give you lots of books to read and instruction manuals, and you can just figure that out on your own. But it's much more comprehensive. And so you'll see around here, if you're on our website, you'll see these three phrases: know Jesus, grow together, serve our world. They're really guides for us as a church, kind of a North Star for us. And I'm gonna put a graphic up here to kind of show you how this all works together, because knowing Jesus is where it starts. Having a personal relationship with him, but that involves the Holy Spirit. Because if you're just knowing information about Jesus, there's nothing that's going to transform your life. But when the Spirit of God reveals Jesus to you, the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and gives you spiritual wisdom and understanding, and you know that Jesus, who Jesus is, it not only is just about knowledge, but it is about how does that transform to you obeying what he taught and living with him as your Lord. Growing together, we've been designed for relationship, to work this out in relationship. And again, that's the Holy Spirit working. Have you ever had some time in your life, you've had somebody that God brought into your life and it just impacted your life so much? Has that ever happened to you? You know, I can guess that God has also used you to come into someone else's life to help them in their time of need. And so there's this beautiful picture of working out faith, being a follower, being a disciple of Jesus in relationship with others. And then serving our world is all about being a witness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's to be a witness, telling other people about me everywhere. And then the phrase long obedience in the same direction, it comes from a book titled by Eugene Peterson. I just love that phrase because spiritual maturity does not happen overnight. It's this long obedience day after day in the same direction. That's how we grow spiritually. And so the question I would have for you today is, do you want to grow spiritually? Spiritually mature. From wherever your starting point is right now, because we as a church want to help you grow spiritually. And by participating in this church, I believe that you can grow. And so I just want to go through each of those phrases, know Jesus, grow together, serve our world, because that is how we accomplish it, but it really doesn't mean anything unless there are people participating in it. And so I just want to walk through that. So know Jesus, number one, knowing Jesus starts with being spiritually born again. Spiritually born again. How many of you would say you have a pretty good memory? And I would quantify that by saying you can remember something when you were 10 years old or younger. You can have a memory from back then. Oh yeah, a lot of hands. How about 5 years old or younger? You can remember something that happened when you were five. Yeah, really good. It's a good memory for some of you. That's a long time ago. Oh, should never bust on the people you're talking to. Sorry about that. That was communication 101. How about this? If you have a really good memory, how many of you remember the day you were born? I can guarantee your mom remembers the day you were born. What did you do to influence that day? What did you do to influence that you were born? Anything? No. It just happened. Life is a gift, right? On January 7th, 1977, Matthew Robert Mylan, a gift from God, was born. That's what the name Matthew means. I was just letting you know. It means gift of God. I didn't come up with that. But life is a gift. So there was nothing I did to be born that day. There was nothing I did to even be born. I think about that a lot, actually. I was just born here. Every single one of you, you're just born. One day you were born into this world and there was nothing we did to accomplish that. And there's a very significant parallel to being spiritually reborn, born again. There's a religious leader that had an interaction with Jesus. He's very, very intelligent. Pharisee named Nicodemus. And there's this interaction, conversation he had with Jesus around this very subject. I want to read it. John 3, verse 2. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. This is Nicodemus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Now, this guy Nicodemus, he was a religious leader, a Pharisee. Most likely, he would have had the first five books of the Old Testament called the Torah. He would have had that memorized. So he was very knowledgeable about the law of Moses, about what the prophets had spoken, all pointing to this Messiah. And so he comes to Jesus and he said, look, we see the miraculous signs you're doing. We hear what you're teaching. It's obvious that you're from God. And I want you to see what Jesus' response is, because Nicodemus had a lot of head knowledge, but it didn't yet affect his heart. Here's what Jesus replied. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, you might hear about it. You might read some information about it. You might gain some fun facts about the kingdom of God, but you're not gonna see it unless you are born again. So Nicodemus replied probably the way I would have in that moment. He said, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? I probably would have had the same question. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. For too much of my adult Christian life, I pointed to that moment when I prayed the prayer to have asked Jesus into my heart. I pointed that moment as like, that was a good decision that I made. That was my decision, I made it, and then you know, I tried to live my life the right way. And that was kind of my concept of salvation. And it was only until I started really digging into scripture and started to see, oh, it wasn't my good decision that I made. I wouldn't have seen it without the Spirit of God revealing it. And so if you're praying for someone to come to Christ, what I would say the best prayer is just say, Lord, would you open their eyes? Spirit of God, would you reveal Jesus? Open their eyes to see you and your kingdom. Apart from that, they're not gonna be able to see it. Doesn't matter how good my communication skills are, doesn't matter how good your conversation, how you navigate, and if you have like good tools for witnessing, all those things may help. But at the end of the day, it is the Spirit of God that has to reveal Jesus to them. And then when the Spirit of God reveals Jesus, a person has the choice. Will they say yes or will they reject? So the Holy Spirit does this work to be born again, spiritually reborn. And then just like when you're born into this world and you have to learn how to talk and learn how to walk and learn how to relate to other people and learn what your gifts and your skills and your, you know, what you are doing with your life. It's very similar, parallel to growing spiritually. That's why spiritual disciplines are so important. That's why getting a good Bible reading habit in place where that decision, okay, the word of God is gonna be my authority, even the things I don't understand, I'm gonna read it day after day after day. That long obedience, that commitment in the same direction will begin to transform your life. Spiritual disciplines like prayer, where you're communicating with God and listening for him to speak to you. That's how you grow in your relationship. But then we see in scripture that it's not just knowing Jesus and being isolated from everybody else. This gets worked out in relationship with other people. And it's one of the things that develops people as a follower of Jesus. And it's one of the hardest things because it can cause hurt and pain. And so what did Paul say? He said, look, there's gonna be leaders in the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So there is a correlation between growing in knowledge of Christ and working it out with other people. And so that's why growing together is such an important part. It's an important part of our church year. And so number two, growing together means finding your part as a member of the body. A member of the body. You know, there's a difference between being an active member of a church and being an active member of Costco. Kelly and I, we've been members of Costco, I think, since 2001. And our Costco attendance probably rivals our church attendance. I'm kind of embarrassed to say. But let me just walk you through how I approach being a member at Costco, right? You walk in the door, show them you're a member, you got a card, they let you in. And then the first thing that I look at is what? If you have a membership, you probably know. All these big flat screen TVs. You know what my first thought is? I think we need another big flat screen TV in our house. And then I walk through and I'm looking at the things that we need and some of the things that we don't need, things that I want. And then I look at things, you know, we're looking for things, then it's like they don't have what we want, and I'm kind of disappointed by that. That's what being an active member at Costco is. What am I thinking about? What is my sole focus when I go in there? Me. It's me. Or my family, right? I'm thinking about my family. I have never gone into Costco and thought, I wonder how I could serve this place. How I could use my gifts to make this a better place. I've never thought that, right? I'm there as a consumer. There is a very big difference from being a member of a store and a member of a church. Being an active member of a church is not a gateway to a special privilege of being served, but a choice to participate in serving one another. Being a church member is not a gateway to a special privilege of being served, but a choice to participate by serving one another. That's why a picture of the body, the human body, when you're a member of a body, is such an important word picture to understand. Just a few months ago, our son Ethan, he tore his UCL in his elbow, throwing javelin in a track meet for college. And let me tell you, that disrupted his life. The solution to that was not to cut his arm off, like I'm done with that arm, but it did affect every area of his life. And he had to get medical attention to repair it. And then there's a rehab process that he's in that he's making good progress on. But that injury, that pain affected the rest of the body. And if you know that, if you've had any pain or injury, you know that that affects the rest of your body. But the body also heals itself because it's connected. And so what does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? What does it mean to find your part in the body of Christ? Well, again, it goes back to the church leaders have this responsibility to build up the church, equip people to get engaged in the mission of Jesus. That's a responsibility. But then it also requires people to take that step to get involved in some way, to participate. And Paul said in Ephesians 4:16, he said, he, meaning Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So if you are growing as a follower of Jesus, just the fact that you are growing in context of relationship, that actually has an impact on someone else growing. That's how interconnected we are. So we do have a discipleship pathway here. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, your first step is to be water baptized. We mention this week after week, and we invite people into a class that we provide and really to take that next step. And if you're ready to take that step, I encourage you to take it. It's very, very important. That's where you learn to share your testimony. I mean, that's also an important step when you're a follower of Jesus, how you share what Jesus did, begin to build spiritual disciplines. But then the next step after that, if you want to be planted at this church, is to go through our Count Me In membership class. And you're gonna hear a lot of the things that I'm sharing today. But I think it's important, whether you've been at Worship Center for many years or maybe you're new here, because we've had a lot of new people come over the last few years, it's important that you understand what it is to be an active member of this church. And I just wanna give you a few ways that you can do that. When you go through this Count Me In, you're gonna understand, okay, a little bit of more of our mission and also how to take your next steps. And so some of the ways you can get engaged here, First way is to participate in our corporate gatherings, just like you're doing today. So great job. Check that off. But you know, this is a very important part of spiritual growth. When you're standing shoulder to shoulder with people, worshiping God, you know, some people walk in here and they've had a rough week. But just hearing other people proclaiming God is good, his mercy endures forever, the Lord uses that to strengthen our faith. So corporate gathering, I mean, Hebrews says, don't neglect your assembling together for two reasons. To stir one another up to good works and to encourage each other to not give up. That's why we need this. Keep participating in corporate gatherings. Another way is to participate some way in the life of this church. So we are a larger church, and so we want to find lots of ways for you to connect with people personally, because there's not a lot of personal connection going on right now. And so a couple ways we do that here is one is to get into a small group. We've been doing small groups for many years. A small group is an opportunity for you to be with maybe 8 to 12 other people to discuss God's word, to encourage each other, challenge each other to grow, learn how to apply it to your lives, pray for each other, support one another. If you're going through something difficult in your life, it's gonna be much better for you to call your small group than for you to call me. Because you imagine a couple thousand people calling me, and I'm not the most compassionate person, so I'll probably be like, well, figure it out somehow. But when you're in relationship with somebody, you can care for one another way better than I can care for you, than our pastoral team can care for you. The beauty of a small group. Serving team is another way. You know, we have somewhere between 900 and 1,000 volunteers who serve here at Worship Center to make this what it is. Now, you might hear that and say, oh, I guess I don't have to serve then. Everything's filled. But actually, the opposite is true. There are opportunities for you to serve, not just to fill in a slot somewhere, but we found when you're serving shoulder to shoulder with someone on a particular serving team, relationship starts to happen and you connect with other people. And then again, caring for one another and while you're making a difference in whatever area you're serving in. So if you are not in a group, we're gonna have groups sign-ups over the next few weeks. I would encourage you, maybe even if you've tried a group before, but you haven't been in one for a while, try it again. Get into some kind of relationship. If you're not serving right now, I'd encourage you to serve. It's a great way for you to get connected with other people here and to grow, be part of the body here. We also have other opportunities to serve, outreach opportunities, like we just did Serve Week. We went into the community and helped different organizations do some summer cleanup organization. Assisted widows, many other opportunities. Again, when you're working together with other people from this church, not only are you meeting needs, which is really important, but you're also connecting with other people. We do something called Pack Hope in December. We have hundreds of volunteers come and pack meals, and then we send them all around the world to the neediest places. It's such a great opportunity. Another way to get engaged and participate in this church is by giving financially. You might think, oh, didn't we already talk about giving? You're gonna talk about it again, two times in one service? Yeah, I am. Here's why, because when you give financially, you might think it's just like, oh, I gotta give, but what you're doing is providing an environment for other people to experience. When you're giving financially here, you know, it allows us to be a resourced church so that we can meet needs in this church. We can have an amazing kids ministry environment. We can pay our bills on time. We have resources to get the gospel out all around the world. When you give here, you're part of that financially. And you know what else I've noticed? When you give, your heart begins to be drawn even closer to it. That's really what Jesus taught. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you're not giving to this church, of course you're still welcome here. But I think it's important for you to know that somebody is giving financially so that you can experience this church for what it is. And so I encourage you to take a step in that. We have lots of tools to help you get connected. We do a weekly email called e-news. It keeps you informed about everything that's going on. We have an app. On that app is not just about sermon notes and messages that you can find, but there's all kinds of information about news and events that are going on at Worship Center, how to get connected. So I'd encourage you to go in that app and explore it. We have something called MyWC. It's our church database. You could set up a profile here. Again, it's just another way for you to be connected here as part of the, as being a member of this body. And so if you have any questions about those tools or how to take that next step, I want to encourage you to stop by Connections after the service. We have a team of people there that would love to help you. But it is the Holy Spirit working through these ways that we can connect with other people for us, that helps us grow together. It's not just, well, if I have good understanding of the app, then I'm going to grow. No, but these are tools that can point you to growing together with other people. So growing together, finding your part in the body. And then finally, number three, serve our world. Serving our world means being a witness of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is a witness? I like it in noun form, not verb. I mean, we can witness, but I think it's much better to identify what is a witness. A witness is someone who simply shares what they have seen, heard, or experienced. Now think about that when Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Witnesses will share what they have seen, heard, and experienced. That means you don't have to be a Bible scholar to share Jesus with somebody. You can be. I'd encourage you to keep studying the Bible. But just simply start by sharing what you have seen, heard, and experienced. You will be my witnesses, Jesus said, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How do we go everywhere? How can we be everywhere? It's the beauty of the local church. We can't all go to Switzerland, Northern Africa, but we can support people who do. We can't all go to India and Fiji, Australia, but we can support people who do. We can't all go to your workplace, but you're there. We can't all go to your family, but you're there. And you can be a representative of Jesus right where you are by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you put that graphic up one more time? I just want to see it. The long obedience in the same direction. This will be a commitment. There's a cost to it. But anything worthwhile has a cost. And so my prayer is, as you look at that graphic and you have it in your notes, that you would take a moment and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you prompting me to do? What step could I take in one of those? To know Jesus, to grow together, serve our world, to move towards spiritual maturity. Let me close with this. What makes Worship Center unique? Again, we're a local church. We're just part of the Church of Jesus Christ, small part. But what makes us unique? What's part of our DNA that may make us unique compared to some other churches? Not better, not worse, just unique. And I want to read Hebrews chapter 13. It's part of our DNA since this church was founded in 1977. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. What are the two things? Number one, a sacrifice of worship. And number two, acts of generosity. Worship Center got its name because we wanted to be a place where people can come to worship freely. But worship is so much more than just the 30 minutes of singing time on a Sunday morning service. It's a life. It's what Romans 12:1 says about a living sacrifice, offering your whole selves to the Lord. And then using what you've been given to share with those in need, acts of generosity. This church has been a generous church from day one. And so I just want to give us a moment just to reflect. And again, just simply say, Holy Spirit, what are you leading me? What may the Spirit of God be prompting you? What step is he prompting you to take? And then my prayer is, would we have the courage to take that step? So just take a moment of silence, reflection. Lord, I believe you're prompting people all around this place. And so I do pray that we would have ears to hear what you're saying. I thank you for this church. Now, there are people here who are new to faith, and there are people here who have been faithful to Jesus for decades. And to see how we can grow together when we're on a pathway to know you, that's only a work of the Spirit. We cannot force that. There's nothing we can do to create that. We can just have a place and connect with your mission. So I thank you for speaking to hearts today. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. I want to encourage you to, if you feel like the Lord prompted you to do something, write it down, reflect on it this week, and take that step. Maybe it's to get into a small group and you want some more information, or maybe it's to start serving somewhere. You want some more information, you can go online to our website, or you can talk to one of our connections team members. But we'd love to help you get connected some way. If you need prayer for any reason, we're gonna have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're ready to take that next step to follow Jesus. Come talk to one of our prayer team members. We'd love to help you take that next step. Maybe there's something else that's heavy on your heart. Have somebody pray with you. We'd love to do that. If you are new to Worship Center, you have some questions about how to get plugged in here or how to get connected and count me in, again, I wanna encourage you to stop by Connections, team of people there that would love to help you. And if you'd like to be a group leader, I would just want to, we're looking for group leaders that prepare for our group season coming up. They're vital, helping people grow. Maybe the Lord is prompting you to do that. Again, you can visit worshipcenter.org/small groups to find out more. We have training and equipping for you to help you on that journey. All right. Well, would you all stand, please? So good to be together today. Next week, we're starting a brand new teaching series on the book of Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite books in the Bible. I'm looking forward to it, so I hope you can be here. We're gonna start that next week. All right, hey, don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day and a great week.